World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a confession to make here this morning. I think a confession, they say, is good for the soul. So I'm going to make a confession to all of you out there, all the followers here at Coach Dave Live. I'm probably one of the few people who's willing to say this publicly, but I'm going to say it. Thank God Easter's over. Thank God. Thank God Easter is over. Chocolate eggs, Easter baskets, bunnies. You know what I did this weekend? One of the things I did, it was the most, I kept yelling at Michelle. It's a wonder she's still married to me. Well, I think we are. I haven't checked with her this morning. I got on Facebook and I just scrolled down through Facebook at all the advertisements for Sunday Easter services. Did anybody else do that? Anybody else do that? And it was like somebody wrote a script and handed it to 1,000 different pastors, and they read the same script. Come here. We're going to have fun. We're going to have an Easter egg drop. All over and over and over. Come to church. It's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. Oh, our praise and worship. You'll love our... Folks, we are so far. I'm just telling you. How can we even go before the throne of God anymore? How can we do that? I'm serious. How can we do that? And here we are, Monday, April 5th, 364 days before we do it again, and we'll do it all again. And if I can be honest with you, which I can, I don't care, is we're halfway to Christmas, and we'll do this whole charade all over again. And Jesus warned us. In fact, he got really, really mad. He went into the temple, and what did he get mad at those boys about? He says, you guys, you just teach doctrines of, you just teach phony holidays. That's all you do. You go to your churches and you celebrate Easter and you celebrate Christmas and you celebrate Palm Sunday. He says, you teach that as like commandments, the doctrines of men. So you do that and you make the word of God none effect. So you don't even know what it means to be a Christian anymore. And listen, I'm not sitting here being some high and mighty Christian to you. I'm just telling you, when the world's celebrating Easter, you know we got a problem. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That was a mic drop. When the world celebrates Easter.
Don't forget Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. When the world celebrates Easter, you know we got a problem, right? You know we got a problem. And, I'm going to try to be in a good mood today. I am in a good mood today. I'm going to try to. No, I'm not. I'd be lying if I said that to you. God, man, oh, man, oh, man. Going to be 78 here on Wednesday. I'm heading to Chad Estes' house this weekend. Okay, let me go through a few real quick little things. I got the good stuff. Some good stuff with us here today. Let's play that. Play Chad's YouTube video if you can. There's Spence. It's the first thing. It just says Chad's. We're going to Chad's this weekend for his something warrior training. I can't remember what the name of it is. Battled warrior training. Play that one-minute video Chad made at the Estes Ranch.
We'll be right back.
All right, Chad. Chad, are you in here today, Chad, to brag a little bit about what we're going to do out there in Moody, Texas this weekend? Or just sleep in on me?
I'm here, Coach.
Hello. All right, buddy. Huh?
We've got a great weekend, I think, coming up here. The great fellowship. We got the good scripture readings and all that. And Bible study, I think, will be great as well. But I'm looking forward to it. We're really getting excited. I'm getting a lot of more sign-ups and stuff. And so we're making good progress. And I'm really happy with the turnout. And I think it's going to be a really good time, a really good training. Look, I want to say, too, I haven't said this, but there are a lot of women signing up for this. A lot of women signing up for this. So it's a great – obviously, they see the need for it in their own lives. And so if you're on the fence about coming or not, we're coming right up to the – you know, the time to stop the sign-ups. Right? We're going to have to lock it down at some point. So we can have a thing, but we're excited, we're ready to go, and that's about it, babe.
So Chad, come on now, give me a hard deadline, brother. When can they be their last day? Now, Chad, listen, you've had to make a lot of special. You had Jiffy John's. I always want to say Jimmy John's. Jiffy John's. A lot of preparation, targets, yada yada yada. Are they supposed to bring their own ammo? Do they bring their own guns? What's the story there, Chad?
Well, okay, the Wednesday is the deadline here for the sign-up. No, we're furnishing all the weapons, all the ammunition, and everything like that. How many places do that for the price?
That's what I'm saying. That's unbelievable, especially with the price of ammo, right? And so if they're flying in there or want to fly in, they don't have to take their gun through TSA and all that kind of stuff, so they don't need that, right?
Well, that's right. We wanted to do it this way. We wanted to offer it this way, so for that specific reason. So if they wanted to risk the flight and all that, and come here, then we have stuff available for them. That
okay. So, hey, Chad, final question: do you have that $5,000 a night president's suite ready for me? Have you got that thing set up for me?
Yeah, that's under construction now. We're having to repaint it, but we've got you in the penthouse.
Good. My wife usually puts me in the outhouse, so anything other than the outhouse will probably be a good thing. So, hey, folks, look forward to seeing a lot of you. I know Bobby and Gary, some of those guys. Hey, Chad, you know they're driving all the way from Pennsylvania. It's amazing. So yeah, remember that. And don't forget the Dizdar. I'm not going to do the whole schedule thing today, but don't forget Russ Dizdar coming up here the 24, 25, 26, whatever that is of this April. We still have signups going on there. Love for you guys to jump in. Again, listen, fellowship. Come and meet some people, man. You're not alone. They just want us to believe they are. So I want to move into something. I got an email. It said God's Army email. I want to share this with you this morning, friends. We were saying before I went into before the show started, we were in the queue a little bit before we got rolling here. And I don't know what to say. We have no urgency. And all we have to do is look around us. And things are getting worse, folks. Things are getting worse. And it's happening more rapidly, faster. That means it's happening faster. And yet we have no urgency. We go out and we do Easter egg hunts at church. I saw a church, they dropped 30,000 Easter eggs from a helicopter. Huh? What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could show you. 30,000 plastic Easter eggs from a helicopter on Easter Sunday. 30,000, right? And then all we have to do is look around and we see that, man, oh, man, oh, man, the Word of God and those who really profess the Word of God are under attack. I'm going to show you the video, which you've probably seen, of the one pastor who finally threw the cops out. I'll play that again, right? But I got this email and I just wanted to share it with you. And I don't ever say who it's from if I didn't get the permission. So I just was reading this again this morning. I thought I got to play this. It says, Coach Dave, as I was reading your message just now, I was struck with the truth of being given a commission. Those of us who served our time in uniform understand exactly what is missing. We also know that if a person leaves the service, they're still subject to recall. Hey, Chad, could they call you back into service?
You have an 8-year commitment.
8-year commitment. Okay. We also know that if a person leaves the service, they're subject to recall unless, as in the case of officers, they have resigned their commission. I don't know of anyone who's done that except for George Patton when he told everyone he's going to resign his commission so he could run for president. That didn't turn out very well. This is an email, folks, I'm reading. However, I do not know of anyone who willingly said they were no longer bound by their oath. Anybody know anybody say that? I took that oath, but I'm not bound by it anymore. To preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. The main problem is this. People say they're in the armor of God and will go to war with Satan when required. But very few of those glad-handers have even been to basic training. None of them were required to put their regular street clothes in a box and send them home, and then were issued the only clothing that they could wear during basic training. With basic training, no one looked different, special. Then the first thing they instructed us in is learning how to march together. Unity is established immediately. A platoon guide, squad leaders picked at random, placed immediately for lack of enthusiasm, and replaced, I'm sorry, for lack of enthusiasm. All it takes is a week, and the whole platoon will march together as if they've been and were able to do push-ups until they do. It's not a lot of fun. They're all trained in the same subjects, at the same time, and tested for the proficiency so the Army can decide if they want to keep them or not. See, we want to argue off script here. We want to argue over whether once saved, always saved. Why the hell do you want to stand and fight beside some guy you don't even know is all in? See, the Army gets that out right away. We want to invite all these people to come for Easter egg hunts just to get them saved, right? See, oh, we just get them saved. At the end of 8 to 10 weeks, they will function like a well-oiled machine, do what they're told to do without the slightest hesitation, and everyone will instantly understand what they're supposed to do by habit. When the drill sergeant calls out a command, and they do it for the rest of their lives if they're called to. I'm not a vet. Can anybody thumbs up say, yeah, that's pretty much the way it is, Coach. That's pretty much the way it is. Churches today may or may not have an altar call and look for volunteers. Sign them up and tell them everything will be fine from now on. What a bunch of horse manure that is. The reality is the enemy will know who you are now because you have a name tag. That's right. The enemy knows who you are. Those same churches and their denomination advisors who don't know squat in general issue some orders to make converts so the numbers grow and they can get a few more dollars. Never realizing that we were not told to make converts, but disciples. Not converts with Easter egg drops a la helicopters. Jesus worked with his first crew for about 3.5 years. Think about that. Jesus worked with 12 guys for 3.5 years, and they still didn't get it. They still left him at the end, right? Remember, right? Amazing. If Pentecost hadn't been pre-scheduled, they all would have been gone back to fishing and collecting taxes or doing whatever. The Apostle Paul could have eliminated all of the few that held on in probably less than a week. One thing Jesus did not teach his disciples was how to pacify the crowd and open entertainment centers, egg drops out of helicopters, and good worship music, great entertainment with lights and smoke machines. The only thing that held all those folks together was the simple fact that they saw Jesus die. And then he walked through a couple of walls to ask what was for supper. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? Alive and well, just like he'd promised. That's when they started to get the picture. The only thing that held them all together was the simple fact that they saw Jesus. I'm sorry. That's why the military introduces the troops to Medal of Honor recipients and other real heroes so they can see real live heroes with their own eyes. not just read about them in some textbooks. I saluted and then shook hands with over 40 at one of their conventions in a town where they wanted for nothing. When today's Christians begin to recruit by preaching the gospel, with signs and wonders following, and are trained to know first who they are in Christ and how we have his faith, the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in us, then and only then will ordinary people start to show proof of how real Christians are supposed to function in everyday life. Then our recruiting will not be a problem. My grandson Chase is in the military, is in training to be a missionary, He leaves for Ghana in September. Listen, folks, I keep telling him that there are more enough people in the neighborhood to keep him busy forever. Isn't that the truth? Why do you have to go to Ghana? Well, he got the message. But he'll be fine. I told a local pastor the only reason he sends people to foreign countries to be missionaries is because he's afraid to send them next door. He got the message. And I got the
message. Amen.
Thanks for trying to keep our heads above water. You're a blessing to us. Amen. That's the kind of guy I'm after. No egg drops here. No helicopters. None of that stuff. I always thought, you know, one of the greatest football teams ever had, we went undefeated. Everything was falling apart for us at Fairfield Christian Academy. They'd had administrations change. They'd gotten rid of the lead pastor. Everything was under turmoil. People didn't like me because, you know, I'm a pretty straightforward guy. And I didn't even know if we were going to have a football team. I took a kid who played tight end the year before and made him a quarterback because I'd seen him pitch in baseball, and he was a good pitcher. And I thought, well, he can at least throw it. Then we had a good kid who was a great running back. So I had a kid at tight end who used to be a tight end who's now going to be a quarterback, never been a quarterback. And the kid the year before who'd been the blocking fullback who at least knew where to line up. So I took him and I put him. We went to straight direct snap to the quarterback. Spread the field. Four receivers all the time. Spread them out because we weren't as good as we used to be. We used to bring everybody in close and then just knock their teeth out and run right over the top of them. We couldn't do that this year. I thought we were going to get our butts beat. So he'd snap the ball to Colin and Colin would hand it to Tobin and we'd run right down the freaking field like ever. And we came up with a name, had it put on a shirt. We called ourselves the Dirty 30. In a Christian school, we were the Dirty 30. And we'd go out and we'd play guys that had 50 and 60 on their team and we didn't care. We had the Dirty 30. It was one of the most remarkable coaching experiences ever in my whole life. To think when that season began, I didn't even know if we had a guy who could take a snap from center. Didn't even know if he could. And a hat tip to Colin, he became a pretty good passer because he could pitch, could throw the football. And this idea that we have to fill our churches and do Easter egg drops, helicopters. Folks, I found Jesus at a mega church. I found Jesus at World Harvest Church, Pastor Rod Parsley, 1988. I met Jesus there. There'd been a lot of pruning up till then in my life and a lot of planting and watering. But I walked the aisle that night in January 1988, and I received Christ out of fear, not out of Easter eggs, not out of helicopters, and not out of smoke machines. I ran to the altar, a wicked, wicked man, in need of a Savior. And you know, the truth is, I don't blame Pastor Rod. I don't blame anybody for this. Are you looking at me? Everybody look at me. Nobody discipled me. Oh, I was in there every Sunday. I was paying my tithes. And I was learning. I was learning things from the Bible because I was a new Christian, but nobody discipled me. I remember one time some guy stood up in church and passed 5,000 people in the church. Guy stood up in church and talked about the fact that they were holding signs outside strip club. I thought, what? He and three of his gut buddies would go out there every Friday night outside the strip club and hold up signs. And gnawed at me in my comfort. My comfortable, costless Christianity, it gnawed at me. And that's where I ended up. Not with him. But Mark Harrington took me by the hand and walked me onto the Ohio State University campus and put an abortion sign in my hand, and the rest is history. Had nothing to do with Easter or Easter eggs or helicopter drops, smoke machines, or good praise and worship music. Oral Harvest Church was a 5,000 member salt shaker. Jesus said, good for nothing. Said to be cast out and trodden underfoot. I don't blame the pastor. I don't blame him. I honor Pastor Rod. I'm a living testimony of the miracle done in my life. No helicopters. No egg drops. Just a soft, repentant heart, man. And I wrote last week, I didn't really get around to reading about it so much, but I didn't read it all to you, about this costless Christianity that we have in America today. I spent my life in sports. And it was really kind of funny that I always found out the best players, for the most part, were the ones who worked the hardest. There was a correlation between it. The ones who put the time in the weight room and everything needed to be done and the running and conditioning, it was amazing how those guys always were the best players. And I wondered, were they the best players because they had the greatest skill set, or were they the best players because they developed the greatest skill set? And what is the skill set that you have that you're not developing? We read about the parable of the talents. The Lord called the guy who was just a weakling old guy with one talent. We don't even know what that talent was. We don't know what that guy could do. Wasn't LeBron James, far as I know. Wasn't Joe Montana, Mickey Mantle. Just one little guy with one little gift. We stood before the Lord. The Lord said, what'd you do with that gift I gave you? So then I wasn't up to the task. Everybody told me it wasn't important. The pastor put me in the back of the room and shut me up. And I tried to go to Sunday school, but my opinion didn't really matter much. And so I just kind of, 40 years blew by, and here I am today. And he's going to say, you unfaithful servant. Wouldn't that be something to hear? You unfaithful servant. You didn't. I gave some guys five, and they used every damn one of them. And I just gave you one, and you couldn't even do that? It's like you're talking to your child. You come home and say, all I ask you to do was wash the car. That's all I ask you to do. We had the most amazing thing happen in my house yet. Just bear with me a second. Trying to encourage you today. From the time my wife got up yesterday until the time she went to bed, she never stopped. In fact, I told her I'm going to put her on her tombstone. She never stopped. She never stopped what? She never stopped preparing the family get-together meal. Some of you called Easter. I got up this morning and I tried to help a little bit. I cleaned out the dishwasher and I put some stuff away. I hear up there rattling right now. She never stopped. You know, she never said to me, honey, can you peel the potatoes? I'm over here. I'm making the stew. Honey, can you set up the table for me? Can you do that? I'm over here doing. No, she kept doing it all. And when everybody came and sat down and ate, and there were about 16 of us, maybe more, 18 of us, everybody sat down and nobody knew the gift, the multiple gifts that she'd used. Nobody knew. And she does it week after week after week after week after week. So I get up in the morning.
Amen.
Huh? I just want to put my arms around her and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's unbelievable. Isn't that really? Don't y'all just want to be appreciated at the end of the day? Can you imagine what it'd be like to stand before the Lord and he gives you a big old hug, says, damn. Hey, Chad, I love the way you play. Huh? Can you imagine the Lord looking at you and saying, man, I've been watching the whole
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
I've been watching the whole time. Here's the game films. Hey, Rochelle, here's the game films of your life. Man, Michelle, look here. Oh, look. Ooh, look when you did that. Oh, look what you did. I love the way you play. It's not our attitude, is it? That's why we're in the mess that we're in. As if somehow, some way, we can trick the Lord into giving us a few more days and a few more years and a few more opportunities. We don't have any urgency. No urgency. We need some. I don't know where that came from, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Anybody trying to get in here today? Let me. I'm not even looking up there. Go ahead, Rochelle, then Jeff and Larry. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, team. I loved Easter yesterday. I got it. There was no chocolate. We didn't do chocolate, but so many things almost went wrong. Technical stuff. Loved ones were fighting. People had, we couldn't find the pans. People, you know, but it all worked out. My mom was great. The girls were beautiful. The babies were happy. I did this presentation on Psalm 22 and it went really good. My dad was truly moved. I feel like my efforts were blessed, and I wouldn't have attempted this without the encouragement from the team and how Coach pushes us to be active in the kingdom. And so thank you for that. And although I'm not called into the political realm, but I'm inspired by all of you who are, and I stay informed and I spread the truth, even if it sounds like hate, Coach.
Amen. It does. It sounds like hate to those that hate the truth, Rochelle C. It doesn't sound like hate to everybody, just to those who don't want to hear. It's the most difficult thing in the world to speak truth, folks. It's the most difficult thing. Bless you, dear. Come on in, Jeff, then Larry.
Coach, I just want to say yesterday morning, we didn't have any Easter eggs or bunnies at the church we went to. Mary Jane and I went down to Newark. And David Arthur, I want to say, he plays hard. That boy, I mean, David's all in. You know, he gets down there, and people loved him at that church. He brought a message of get out of your church. People's lives are being destroyed out here, and give examples and what we're missing. But, you know, he gets down here to Ohio. His starter's going out of his car. We fix his starter. He gets ready to go to church, and the transmission goes out of his car. So, but, you know, he just keeps hammering away. Proud of you, David. It was a great morning yesterday. Mary Jane loved it.
Plays hard. David plays hard, man. Huh? Folks, send me a little bit of money for David Arthur. His transmission went out. You heard that, right? You heard that right there. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to echo what you said about Michelle and her gifts and her just keep on keeping on. And until something happens that stops, you really don't. I knew it. I appreciated it somewhat. But now that I'm the one that has to do all the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry and you know, dishwash and everything, you really learn to appreciate their efforts and their giftings. And the bonus is, and I'm sure it's true with Michelle too, the bonus is that at any time, Gail has not been a real big go for it and go out there and push her Christianity and talk, you know, push people and talk to them about Christ all the time at every instant and everything like that. But every time anybody asks her a question or brings the subject up, she has a biblically sound answer for them.
So she's operating in obscurity, right, Larry? Just exercising her gift in obscurity. Boy, that's all the Lord asks. Bless her. Paul, come on in, and Dave.
Yeah, Coach, I appreciate you sharing your testimony. You know, most churches these days are not necessarily churches. They're motivational centers.
They are. Yes, sir.
And, you know, something I just want to share, I just want to say thank you for being courageous and bold and listening to the Lord, because what you were sharing a couple of weeks ago about carnality and all that has really helped me. And it just something clicked inside me when you started talking a couple of weeks ago about it, and how it's really been compelling me to really take a look at what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and just to be alert and to be aware. And so I just want to say thank you.
Amen.
And, appreciate you and bless you.
There's nothing that makes a coach more excited and happier than seeing a player do something he's been taught. You know what I'm saying? To see him use a technique that you showed him and it worked. So God bless you, man. God bless you. Come on in, David, then Craig. Wow, I got to move
on. You know, I think what a lot of people just don't realize, Coach, is that this life is not ours. This life, wow. Like, I wouldn't even exist today. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for him, for the Father. So every breath I have belongs to him. And that's a place that all of us need to get. And whether it be because I was on my deathbed or not, it's a place that we all need to get and realize that every single breath we have belongs to him. Amen. That our lives truly aren't our own. Mm-hmm. And that we have to recognize the magnitude of the gift that we've been given and the authority that we have, because we can't exercise that if we don't recognize it. And so I was just blessed yesterday to be a part of something that was not centered on Easter. It was about the resurrection, and there was no Easter egg hunt. And it was just a blessing, and it was a blessing to come over to your house and spend time with you guys as well yesterday. So thank you.
Amen. Little Michelle running around like a little busy beaver. Folks, listen, one of the things I wrote last week, I didn't get, let me just share this here right now, okay? Folks, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. In fact, Jesus called it the new and everlasting covenant. And so what is a covenant? I had that in my stuff from last week. I won't pull it up now, but a covenant is a quid pro quo. You do this, I'll do that. We call it a contract in modern America, right? So Jesus signed a new contract with us, a new covenant. And I asked some of the people after you left, David, sitting around our table last night, I asked some of the covenant. You guys, the Lord made a covenant with us. Now, does anybody know what that covenant was? And of course, I'm asking you, let's struggle for a minute. Covenant, huh? He died for our sins. Yeah, he died for our sins. It's like, cool. What's your skin in the game? He died for you. Michelle and I got married. When we got married, it was a covenant. And I pledged my fidelity to her. But there was a requirement. She had to pledge her fidelity to me. And when she said, I do, and I said, I do, we had us a deal. We had us a covenant, right? So the Lord said, I'm going to die for y'all, for your sins. I'll do that. That's my part of the covenant. By the way, what's your part of the covenant? Did they ask you that on Easter Sunday? Did they walk you down the aisle with some Easter eggs and say, Jesus died to forgive you of your sins. Here you go. Come and receive. Did they ask you what you were bringing to the table? What was your part in this deal before Jesus signed it in ink? Did they ask? Well, what's our part of the covenant? Jesus dies for us. We live for him. That completes the covenant, doesn't it? Doesn't that complete the covenant? Now, when you go to church, is that what you're hearing? Jesus died for you. Now you got to live for him. What? I got to open my mouth, say things publicly. What? Me? I have to speak for him? Yeah, that's part of the deal. You signed it in blood. That's part of the deal. But we're not saying that in church, are we? Come on down here. Jesus did all these things for you. It's a one-way deal. He does all the paying, and you get all the blessing. Easter eggs from helicopters. Come on in, Craig and Tony. Did you hear me, Craig? I think you did. Tony's ready. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Coach. yeah, last week at my home church, you know, I preached on the Passover in Moses' day. And then to this Sunday, I was bringing it to the Lamb of God. And it was like, how do I pull this all together? All the Gospels are kind of a little, they add a little here, a little there, and they're not all exactly the same. It's like you got to kind of piece it together. And so the Lord showed me a, I'm getting an echo. Oh,
that's not your fault, Tony.
So the Lord brought me across a video on the suffering and death of Christ from a medical aspect. And you know, here I've been saved since 1975, and I didn't know any of this. And what the Lord wanted to happen was for us to get a reality check of really how Christ suffered, the price that he actually paid for us. And it started in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweated blood, and it talked about how his anxiety was so extreme that the capillaries on his sweat glands burst, and actual blood actually came out with the sweat. And then it talked about how he was scourged, and how the way the whips were made, that it actually would, when it pierced the skin, it would actually pull little pieces of muscle out. Mm-hmm. And they put the crown of thorns on, and these thorns are like spikes. And when they smacked them down on his head, it cut right into his skull. And then how he went to the cross.
Okay, I get it, Tony. I get it. But Tony, listen, God bless you. What does that mean to the average believer today? Why is church on Easter Sunday always about salvation? What about the 5,000 people sitting there who are already supposed to be saved? Do we come back and hear the same message again? It's Easter Sunday, crowns of thorns, capillaries, again and again.
They need a reality check, Coach. They have to know really how he suffered. I mean, just to say, yeah, he got whipped, he died on the cross. But when you actually look at how he suffered, and because the Romans were experts in how to make someone suffer without bleeding to death. And it's like it put a reality check in everybody in the house, even my granddaughter. You know, my wife homeschools her, and, you know, she knows about Jesus and sort of what happened, but it put her in a reality check too. And now, you know, they look at Christ and their salvation a little different now.
Amen.
Because it's not about Easter eggs. It's a reality check. If you know how he really suffered, you will appreciate Christ in a way you never did before. That's all.
Come on in, Dale. Then Craig. Dale.
I'm sorry, man. I was tapping in the, I guess, you know, this understanding of the new covenant, brother, maybe I see a little bit different. I think you would agree. The covenant was not made with man. The covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son.
Sure. Brother,
First John chapter 2 says he became the propitiation for our sin. That word means to ease the anger of another. God's anger, his wrath, was going to be poured out on mankind because of my sin, because of your sin, because of our sin. He became that bloodshed then was taken in the tabernacle of heaven. Brother, that's the new covenant. The covenant cannot be made, and it was not made with man. It cannot be broken by man. We have, matter of fact, we have no say in the new covenant. But if we want to be a partaker of the new covenant, Jesus clearly declares it. You must deny yourself. Take up your cross. What is your burden and what is your bearing? And follow him, brother. I'm telling you, we've sugarcoated. I didn't preach on any of that stuff, brother, because this is what I talked about. This is the new covenant.
Amen.
This is the new covenant. Amen. We don't make it, brother. This isn't a marriage between a husband and a wife, brother. This was between God the Father and God the Son. And
okay, so Dale, I got some emails this week because of what I wrote last week, and they said, listen, you're doing a works gospel. There isn't anything that you can do. And I said, what about repent? Well, they want to ignore that, right? They want to ignore that. If there's not repentance involved, if I don't have to do something, then everybody's saved.
That's a fallacy, brother. That is a lie. Jesus clearly tells you, in order to be a partaker of that new covenant, he says, unless you deny yourself, unless you pick up your cross, unless you follow me, right? Brother,
yes, sir.
You better go where he calls you. And I love that, brother, because we support him around the world. But brother, I'm fully on that. The mission begins when you step your foot outside your door. Matter of fact, your mission begins in your household.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Hey, Dan, I'm going to cut you off. I got a bunch of one in here. Craig, come on, Craig.
Well, Coach, this will tie things in through the scriptures here. And it's Genesis 22, and it's the first two verses here. I'll just go ahead and read it real quick.
Okay.
This is about Abraham when God's testing him. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So what we can glean out of that is one of the study tools that's important is a first mention of a concept. This is the first time love is ever used in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And love, what I've come to get out of it from my own personal understanding, is not what you get, it's what you give. Okay. Yes, we have a reversal understanding of what love is. Love is what someone does for us. No. Love is what we give. So you use your example of your wife Michelle, right?
Yep.
She loved her children. But what did she get out of it? Did she sit and get served? No. She worked all day long, right?
Yep.
And she gave of herself. So if we love the Lord, we shouldn't be looking at, well, what's God doing for us?
Amen.
We should be having it, what are we doing for him? Which I think ties into what you're trying to convey.
Amen, brother.
Love is not what you get. Love is defined as what you give.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Joe Allen and Paul Webb, then Jeff.
This is great, Coach.
Thanks, man.
This is how we celebrated yesterday, all of us here in this queue. Ours yesterday is talking about getting a Judith out of our heart and celebrating Jesus. And as he died for us, as we will die for him.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about no chocolate bunnies. We didn't have that. We talked about putting bunnies over the fire and how to cook it.
Amen, Joseph, that's good. And by the way, listen, yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I let our grandchildren do Easter egg hunts. But they understand, grandchildren, 3 years old, 4 years old, we train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, all right? So the idea of running out and gathering an Easter egg, they understand that's not the focus of Easter. Good word, Joseph. Come on in, Paul Webb, then Jeff.
Hey, Coach. You know, most churches are like our immigration policy in the United States. You know, some countries have a policy that what are you going to bring to the table if you want to become a citizen of this nation?
Yes, sir.
But what we do here is, hey, you don't have to have any skill set, anything like that. Come, we'll make you fat, dumb, and happy.
That's America, brother. That's America. Come on in, Jeff, then Randy.
Yeah, Coach, here's a good example of yesterday. And I'm going to use this because this, I just thought of this as you guys are talking. I took a 19-year-old kid with me to go down and listen to David yesterday, young Christian boy. And he's got it. It's all around him. And David said something up on the stage. He said, listen, you even got a witness to that blue-haired kid in the grocery store. This kid works at Kroger's. He's got them all around him. I mean, I said, is it crazy in there with all them young kids? He said, oh my goodness. And this kid's conservative. He's a Christian. He loved Donald Trump. He sees all the evil. He sees it and he doesn't understand why adults don't get it. So he goes down and listens to David yesterday. He also, not only working at Kroger's, he's getting ready to go to college at Kenyon College. The gates of hell. He's going to have them all around him.
Yes, he is.
Yes. And so he was so fired up about that. Listen to that. And his boss at Kroger's is a homosexual. I mean, it is amazing where this kid's at right now. So he's got some of David's tracks in his pocket. He got some. And then he has a new neighbor, just moved into him a couple of days ago in the neighborhood, the homosexual couple. And this kid is just like, he's just unwound. He's like, why? Why? And then he's coming down to the car lot today. He wants to come down and help wash some cars today. But he is a great kid. But that's good.
Get him to fix David's transmission. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, everyone needs to beware what their church and what they're preaching, because this all-inclusive doctrine, this all-inclusive gospel is not the real gospel, Coach. It requires nothing on your part. So everyone, you need to question when you hear it that it's not what it is, that it doesn't require you to give up your life for Christ because he did it for you. You run from that. Or first of all, speak truth to them and tell them it's not true. But you need to run from it, Coach. So,
amen. Amen, brother.
There's a big difference.
Randy, I'm running into it. I'm not running from it, brother. I'm running into Coach. It. Yeah, but Bernie.
Yeah, the fellow that made that comment about the immigration policy made a really, really good comment. The our department was called Department of Immigration and Naturalization. Naturalization was part of the thing to make them become Americans. But are we becoming fit for the kingdom of God? Is our nature changing? That was a really good point. I appreciate that comment.
Good question, Bernie. But good one.
Naturalization.
Naturalization. Yeah. Jim, come on in. Then I want to show you something else here. Rochelle, I see you. Tony, I'll get something else in there. Go ahead, Jim.
This section in Revelation 22:11-14, where it talks about, you know, he who is unjust, let him remain unjust. He who is righteous, let him remain righteous. So how we walk is critical. Then he says, and behold, I am coming quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And my reward, singular, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Then he says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. Basically, the buck stops here. I'm the beginning and the end. Then he says, blessed are those who do his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
They may have the right to the tree of life.
Wow.
And they may enter into the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, those who buy the lie and teach the lie.
Right. So
what we do dictates whether we receive the singular reward or
Jim,
not.
We loveth and maketh a lie, don't we? Don't we loveth and maketh a lie, says verse 15.
That everybody gets in. Ali, Ali, in free.
Amen, amen. Okay, so listen, I gotta do this. Okay, I'll do it, Lord, I promise you. So we ended last night, last two guys out the door. I was talking about this stuff here. I wish I'd have had this scripture. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Folks, do you see that? Whoever loveth. How many of you love lies? Randy, we love lies, don't we, brother? We love lies, baby. We love them. We love them.
Same lie from the beginning.
Amen. So,
will surely not die.
I'm going to drop one on you now. You ready? I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. We'll drop this on you. Oh, boy. Wow. I said, who's the bride of Christ? And they said, well, the church. I said, where'd you find hear that? They looked at me, two of them. I said, where'd you hear that? I said it again. Church is the bride of Christ. So I thought we're the body of Christ. They scratch their head. Hey, wait a minute. What? Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. They said, what? I said, yeah, flip to Revelation 21. I said, you look all throughout the New Testament. You'll never, ever, 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 ever see Jesus or Paul or anybody identify the church as the bride of Christ. You'll never see it. Everybody thinks everybody finds it. Everybody says the church is the bride of Christ. There's no scriptural reference to it, folks. Hey, Google it. Study it all day and straighten me out in the morning if you find anywhere. It says, husbands, love your wives as, that's called a simile, as Christ loved the church. It's a simile. It's a comparison, all right? Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21 up there, Spencer. I just had to throw this in there because this is how my Easter ended yesterday. Go to the very beginning. Okay, that's it. Now going to go to Revelation 21, just 21, the beginning. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God's with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true. And he said unto me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. I'll give up to her that is athirst of the fountain of water freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his father and son. Fearful and unbelieving shall not enter the kingdom. And there came, verse 9. Are you watching, Randy? And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me. He says, hey, come here, dudes. I'm going to show you the bride. Come here. Here's the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Folks, there's the bride of Christ. Church isn't the bride of Christ. Now, for all of you sucking on your thumb saying, how can that possibly be? You find it for me in the New Testament where Christ calls the church his bride. Somebody find it for me. Where Paul says it. All right, I'm done.
Amen, Coach. You nailed it.
I know I did. And you know what? You guys right now don't believe me because you've been believing, loving a lie. You've been loving and believing a lie. Well, church is the body. Does Jesus marry his own body? Is that what he does? He marries his own body? Huh? Oh, my. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be a wonderful counsel, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Increases government shall be no end, right? We're the body of Christ. Okay.
Don't forget, he's the head, Coach. He's the head.
He's the head. Oh my goodness, Joe. My goodness. Okay, so listen. Here we go. Got to finish. I know you've seen it. This brave pastor, man. Huh? Pull that up here for me. I don't know if you guys saw this. There's two parts to this brave pastor. This guy's from Canada, and I wonder what those sissy little pastors are thinking today. Maybe some of you saw it, maybe some of you didn't. So I'm going to show you. The police show up at this guy's church, all right? This is in Canada. This is two parts. You've probably seen the first part. I want you to see both. This, to me, is a man of God. Go ahead.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. Don't, I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out. Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without the warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant. Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating Amen. People in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist, fascists. Don't you dare coming back here.
Amen.
No more brown shirts.
Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year. And they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me.
Play another. There's another one at the bottom. Another 2 minutes.
It's beyond me. Wow. Wow. How dare they? How dare they? Sick people. Sick people. Unbelievable. We're living in a takeover, a total takeover of the government with their thugs, goons, the brown shirts, the Gestapo wannabe dictators coming to the church with armed with guns and tasers and handcuffs to intimidate during Passover celebration. Well, I guess that's what it is. They want to enslave us all like the Egyptians did. They want to be pharaohs of today. That's what they're doing. Unbelievable. People, if you're not wake up, stand up. Wow, I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow if Canadians will not rise up. Look what is happening in Germany. Germany is taken over by fascism again. The wannabe Hitlers are already ruling. You cannot even leave from one city to another. It's a total lockdown. If you will not be vaccinated like a dog or a cat, you will not be able to buy or sell. You will not be able to go to school or work. Is that the future you want? Is that what you want for your children and your grandchildren? Seriously, is that the future of Canada? That's the future of Canada? Wow. Unbelievable.
So, Spencer, go back to the first video again. Go back to the first one real quickly, brother. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I want you to ask yourself a question. Go to the very beginning, Spence. Ask yourself this. What would bring 6-7 police officers to this church?
Intimidation, Coach. Intimidation.
What is going on? 7 police officers. 7. No other crime going on in Canada? 7 police officers.
7 brown shirts, Coach.
Brown shirts, right? And I'm going to tell you this. Right? I'm going to tell you something, folks. The last line of defense is the church. It's the last line of defense. And if we think the government is on the side of the church, we are greatly, greatly, greatly deceived. I'm as patriotic as any man ever walked that God's green earth. But if you cannot see with a sense of urgency in your heart what is coming, the balls of them to show up on Passover, 7 of them armed. What were they getting ready to do? And we know right here in Columbus, Ohio, when those witches busted into the Catholic church in downtown Columbus, nobody lifted a finger. Everybody wanted to pray for him and get him saved. Right? You ride that train all the way to hell. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.